Turning your Bibles today to the book of Numbers, chapter 21. Numbers, chapter 21. I want to read verse 4 today. I may be having us to look at other verses in just a few moments, but for the sake of emphasis, I want to just read, single out just verse 4 at this point of time. Numbers, chapter 21, verse 4. I'm preaching this morning on the subject, what to do when you're sick and tired. What to do when you're sick and tired. Let me read verse number 4. The Bible says, and they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you today for the heartwarming music that's reminded us today of the goodness, the grace, the kindness of the Lord. And we thank you today for the Lord that you are. We thank you today that you are on the throne. And we rejoice today in your presence in our midst. Now, Lord, I pray that you would speak to hearts at this hour. There could be some folks here today that basically are sick and tired, discouraged in the way. Maybe something has been plaguing them in a very special, unique way. I pray that the Word of God today will provide the answer and the help. If there's someone here this morning without a saving knowledge of Christ, may they be saved today. But blessed now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible says here the people was much discouraged because of the way. Let me begin today by laying out a little bit of an introduction to the message, which I think is always important to, as much as possible to do that, to give us the perspective and understanding of the context. Now, the events in this chapter, we're talking here about chapter 21, of course, the events in this passage occur near the end of Israel's 40-year journey through the wilderness. The Bible says that they were discouraged because of the way. Using the statement that I made earlier in announcing my topic, they just basically were sick and tired. They were sick and tired. You know, they had been delivered from Egypt 40 years earlier. It took them only 2 years to reach Kadesh Barnea, to reach the Jordan River, but unbelief barred them from going into the promised land. Because of their lack of faith and rebellion against God, the Lord sentenced the entire nation to wander in the wilderness until every member of that rebellious generation, with the exception of Joshua and Caleb, died. They spend 38 more years, and during that time, God is still faithful. God is faithful to walk with Israel. God is faithful to feed them with manna every day and to lead them from place to place. God is faithful to protect them from their enemies. God had been faithful to His people. The Israelites, by now, have grown tired. They're sick and tired of wandering through the wilderness. They were tired of God's plan, and that certainly took its toll. They were tired of the manna. They were tired of Moses. They were just sick and tired of everything. The way was long, but the way was right. Could we understand today that sometimes the way is long and dreary and hard and difficult, but when God is in control, it's still right. And that was the case here. Now imagine close to 3 million people journeying through the wilderness, excluding the herds of cattle. And they murmured against God. They called the manna, which was actually angels' food, they called it light bread. Light bread. You know that was costly. That was costly. Why was it costly? Do you realize this morning that the light bread spoke of Christ? That manna from heaven spoke of Christ. And any time anybody speaks despairingly or mocks the person and the work of Christ, it's always going to take its toll. And that's what happened here. The way can get discouraging for us. From time to time, we can find ourselves sick and tired. Well, what do we do? What do we do when we're sick and tired? In case you fall asleep during the service, I'll go ahead and give you the entire skeleton of the outline. I like to do that sometimes. You know, some people may not get them all. Here's what we do when we're sick and tired. You ready for this? We look back and remember God's mercy. We look within and repent of sin. We look ahead and respect His leadership. And we look up and rejoice in His goodness. I believe those four things will work every time. The problem with us is we don't put into practice what we know is right. We hear sermon after sermon. We read text after text. But how long is it going to take some of us hard-headed people to let the truth sink in? I believe this morning that God gives a remedy for people when they get sick and tired. I believe there's an answer. And by the way, there's not a one of us today, but what is that's immune from getting weary from the way? And that's the text. They got weary. They were discouraged because of the way. And we get discouraged because of the way. What do? Well, like I've already announced, the first thing we do is we look back and we remember His mercy. Our problem is we need to use our brains more often and we need to think more. We need to think back more. We need to ponder. We need to give some thought. We need to let that gray matter work to our advantage. It's, you know, we do not want to be like Jethro on the old Beverly Hillbillies. You remember that one, don't you? I like those old black and white humorous things. You know, question was asked, Jethro. Well, a question was asked Jed. Why is there not snow in California? And Jed's answer was asked Jethro. He's got an eighth grade education. He can tell you. So they asked Jethro. And Jethro is defensive. He said, don't blame me. He said, I didn't take it. And then he got rebuked, I think, by Jed. He said he needed to use his head sometime instead of just something to carry his hat. And then his response was, it hurts me when I think. And I believe sometimes we're guilty of that. It hurts us when we think. We need to look back and remember God's mercy. You know, Will Rogers one time said, he said, horses are smarter than people. He says, you've never heard of a horse going broke betting on people, have you? Now looking at this, 10 of the 12 spies had a problem with memory loss. They failed to think of God's mercies that they had already received. The miracles that God had performed. The Lord had opened up the Red Sea. God had put the beating on the Egyptians. God had taken its toll on the Egyptians. And the Lord had miraculously worked. And yet the 10 spies of the 12, they give that pessimistic report when they go into the promised land. 2 of those spies said go. 10 of those spies said no. They missed out on the blessings of the promised land, the 10, by the way. The 2 went in. Joshua and Caleb were the only 2 that went in. The majority said, don't go. But the 2 said, go. You know, it's a good point right there. I believe as a general rule, the majority rule has never been trustworthy. You can examine history. As a general rule, the majority rule has never been trustworthy. We don't need a democracy. You heard me right. We're a republic as a nation. When you turn all decisions over to the majority, you can expect troubles. So the 2 said go, and the 10 said no. Unbelief took its toll on Israel during the wanderings. For example, 603,000 543 people died in the wilderness. That would amount to about 42 funerals a day because of unbelief. But look at the faithfulness of God in the past. See, that's the key right there. When we get sick and tired, look at the faithfulness of God in the past. Has God ever failed us? Has God ever changed? Has anyone ever seen the righteous forsaken or a seed begging bread? We can always remember that God has been good. If we are tempted to question what God is doing right now, examine and think about what God did yesterday. The Lord took care of us. God saved us, we that are saved. God's taken care of us. God has blessed us. And why would the Lord forget us now? We need to take the advice of those who know what they're talking about. In this case here, it happened to be Joshua and Caleb. They knew what they were talking about. Basically, Joshua and Caleb said, we can do it. The land is good. The Lord is with us. We are well able to overcome it, chapter 13, verse 30. We can do it. Joshua and Caleb as much as said, furthermore, this land had been promised to us 420 years ago, but to Abraham, and they had not forgotten God's promise. I'm going to tell you what, a promise of God is a note you can take to the bank. When God says something, we can believe it. We can accept it. Somebody one time said this, and they put it in the words of a song. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it for me. There's only one problem with that. When God said it, it'll stand whether we believe it or not. You know, the 12 spies remind me of two men that one day stood on the brink, on the top of the Grand Canyon. Now, you had 10 spies that saw nothing but bad. You had two spies that saw nothing but good. Well, two men were standing on the canyon, on the ridge overlooking the Grand Canyon. This will give you an idea about perspective. Both men were looking at the Grand Canyon, the majesty and the formation of that part of the earth that I think, by the way, is that way because of the flood. That's another sermon. Anyway, they were looking down. One of those men, he said, I've never seen such majestic beauty in all of my life. And the other man said, you know what? This is the first time I've ever looked down on a flying buzzard. Shows perspective. That's kind of how these guys were. You see, 10 saw barriers, 2 saw blessings. 10 saw giants, 2 saw God. 10 saw fortified cities and their faith crumbled. 2 had faith and saw the fortified cities crumbling. You know, when we're sick and tired, we need to look back and remember what God has done and how unbelief takes its toll. We need to just use our brains for a moment and think back and remember now. God knows who we are. God knows our frame. God knows where we are. He knew we'd be where we are. The Lord is not taken by surprise. When we're sick and tired, we need to look back and remember God's mercy. Number 2, when we're sick and tired, we need to look within and repent of sin. Chapter 21, verse 7. 21, verse 7. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we've sinned. We have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord and take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. One of the best ways of getting over being sick and tired is looking within and taking stock of where we are and of what we need. And I believe this. I believe sin can bring on gloom and doom. I believe that things in our lives that aren't dealt with can get us downcast in a hurry. You see, quite frankly, we're really not as pretty as we think we are. You know, we just came through Halloween. Y'all knew that, didn't you? I had a preacher friend one time. He used to laugh. He'd tell me this. I remember he looked at me one time, and he was real serious when he said it. He said, "Chuck," he said, could you imagine if the Martians invaded Earth on Halloween night? That, you know, as your response this morning, that didn't, you know, get your laugh attention much, but it just tickled me. I can see it now. You know, if there'd be Martians coming down, seeing all these ghosts and goblins and ugly looking people running around, and the ship goes straight. That's what I saw. That's what I saw. Undid of y'all didn't see that. We need to look within. Rodney Dangerfield one time said, he said when he was a kid, he said he was so ugly he had to trick and treat over the phone. I laugh every time I think of that. How to get over being sick and tired, we need to look within and repent of sin. We need to face the problem. Israel said, "We have sinned." Now stop and think about that. Three words. One of those words is very seldom ever used anymore. We like to say, "We." Me, my, I. We like to say, "Have." Like the church at Revelation, we've increased with goods and have need of nothing. Self-made person. Have. But that third word is what we leave out. We have sinned. That's become the most unused word in churches. How many people today are dealing with sin? How many people today are facing the fact? How many people today are willing to admit, "I have sinned and I have come short of the glory of God"? I'll tell you this morning, no one will ever go to heaven until they recognize they're a sinner and trust Christ. We need to face the problem. Secondly, we need to focus on the provision. Verse 8, the Lord said unto Moses, "Make thee a fiery serpent, set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten when he looketh upon it shall live." Focus on the provision. Don't miss the important point here. This is not just a brazen serpent of brass lifted up and somehow magically causing the people who had been snake bitten to find a cure for the deadly venom. More to it than that. I take you to the New Testament. Jesus said, "If I be lifted up from this earth, will draw all men unto me." As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Here's the point I'm making this morning. When we get sick and tired, not only are we to face the problem, we need to focus on the provision. We need to keep on surveying the wondrous cross from which the Prince of Glory died. We need to make a beeline to the cross. We need to consider what Jesus went through. We need to focus upon the cross. When they looked at that serpent of brass, they were seeing Calvary typified. The very thing that had bitten them, the serpents, or sin. It was a brazen serpent lifted up. You remember that? Jesus became our sin. He became our serpent of brass. He was smitten for us. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. God hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. We need to focus on the provision. I'm glad that when we're sick and tired, God gives us rest for our soul. I believe we can be restored to fellowship if we'll just be reminded of what Christ did for us. And think about Calvary and think about the cross and think about how He took our sins upon Himself. We're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. He will finish the process He started. He'll do it. The process started in what's called justification. Thank God the process will end in what's called glorification. And he which hath begun a good work in us will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. In the sight of God, we're just as much glorified child of God right now in God's sight as we are justified. In other words, it will run its course. God will see us through to the end. When we met him at the cross and God saved our souls and washed us in the blood of the Lamb, thank God the process began that will end one day in being glorified in his likeness. Now that'll get you over being sick and tired. Is to realize it's going to get better. In fact, not only is it going to get better, it's going to get plumb good. We're going to have the best of it eventually. That's how to get over being sick and tired. Then follow the directions. Look at verse 8 again. It says, when he looketh upon it, he shall live. Just keep looking to him. We look to him for healing. We continue to look for him for leading. We keep on looking. That's how to get over being sick and tired. It all depends on where your eyes are, where you're looking. Look to him. So I've said this, got to hurry. When we're sick and tired, we need to look back and remember his mercy. Number two, we need to look within and repent of sin. And number three, we need to look ahead and respect his leadership. Verse 10. The children of Israel, and I like this, says set forward. Two great words, set forward. And then it says they pitched at Oboth. They set forward. They went forward, finally, trusting him. He led them out. They followed them. And then he was going to lead them in. His leadership can be trusted. It can be trusted. We, when we get sick and tired, need to understand his leadership can be trusted. We can't lean on our own understanding. We can't trust our impulses. We can't trust how we feel. Sometimes when you get up in the morning, you, quite frankly, child of God, if you're like I am, you don't even feel saved if you base it upon where you are emotionally. But thank God, the securing standard for our salvation is not how we feel. It's what Christ has accomplished. And when we accepted his finished work, God put the stamp down. Accepted in the beloved. And our feelings will never alter our standing. Relationship is by blood. It'll never change. Fellowship though, is based on obedience. And that can be altered. But relationship is a standard. These are things you do when you're sick and tired, you see. Remember, while we go forward, understand this, Christian. While we go forward, conflict is purifying. Trouble drives us to God. Be thankful when you get into trouble. Now, if you bring it on yourselves, that's a different story. But if you get into trouble from doing right, be thankful. God is doing something. Even, by the way, even when we get into trouble for doing wrong as a Christian, good can still come out of it. Because, you see, the trial of our faith is much more precious than gold that perisheth. What can come out of it when we get into trouble from doing wrong? Well, it can teach us to repent. It can teach us to depend on the Lord. It can teach us to quit trusting ourselves and let God help us. Complaining is paralyzing, by the way. People that complain a whole lot, they are paralyzed in a sense. It paralyzes the misery. Or I meant to say the memory. It paralyzes the memory. Well, people complain and complain and complain. It's almost like they have a paralyzed memory. It's almost like they're not even thinking right. Being miserable and complaining, incidentally, is not a fruit of the Spirit. Companionship is promised and provisions are provided. And then finally, don't you love that point there? Finally, look up and rejoice. Look at verse 17. Verse 17, Then Israel sang this song. They finally got back into singing business. Then Israel sang this song, "Spring up, O well, sing you unto it." The Christian life is a life of singing. The Christian life is not to be a dull life. It's not to be a dull life. How many of you around old enough to remember Milton Berle? Anybody? Milton Berle one time said his hometown was so dull that the drugstore in town sold postcards of other towns. The Bible says they sang this song. They turned on the music. I believe that'll help us when we're sick and tired. Turn on the music. The first time that Israel now is singing a song of praise and thanksgiving. They've been singing the desert blues too long. They had. The desert blues. Don't you know, they would have been the best choir possible on Hee Haw. Blue and despair, agony on me. Now they're singing the Hallelujah Chorus. In fact, some of the lyrics, "Oh well," they say, "Spring up, oh well, sing you unto it." They turned on the switch. But I want to say today the switch stays on, whether we realize it or not. The switch of praise, the switch of song, the switch of joy for the child of God, it stays on all the time. Paul and Silas, someone answer me, when did they sing? Not where, when. At when? At midnight. At midnight. Now Israel is singing while their lips are still parched, but their song has the content of past provisions. You know what they sing about? They sing about a well springing up. That's what the verse says. Of a well springing up. They sing of a well that was springing up. Now, they needed water from that well, didn't they? But they sang about it. You know what? At this point of time, water wasn't coming out of the well. At this point in time. But they're already singing about it. They needed water from the well. What's the key? They had to do some digging. Verses 17, 18. The princes, verse 18, the princes digged the well. The nobles of the people digged it. They had to do some digging. Here's a point. Here's a principle. God promises water. But the principle here is that we keep on digging. Some of the people that I know as a Christian that get down and out, discouraged, sick and tired, are people that have quit digging. We keep laboring. We keep working. We stay busy. And that'll get us over being sick and tired. It's when we see what God is doing. It's when we face those moments of our lives where it seems like nothing works out. We then get on our knees and we depend on God. We keep on digging. We sing that the water is coming, but God expects us to keep on digging. Happy Christians are Christians that are busy. Not idle, busy. Serving God. We never get to a place in our life, and age is no excuse, but what we still have a ministry for God. We still can be a witness. We still can be a testimony. We still can pray. And God knows our physical weakness. But we never shut down on God. They kept digging. They kept digging. I think this. I believe in our church here, there could perhaps be some happier Christians if more in this church would take hold of this principle. We've got great needs in Smith Grove Baptist Church. We need people to work with youth. We need people to help out in ministry. And I said last Sunday, it's a shame that 10% have to do 90% of the work. Shouldn't be that way. Everybody needs to be digging. We're all at the same table, enjoying the same blessing. Let's put out the same effort. There is no limit to what this church could do in this community if more of God's people would start digging again and get busy again and quit using excuses. No wonder some people are sick and tired and weary of the way. They haven't applied these principles. And in closing, here they are. Look back. Remember God's mercy. Look within. Repent of sin. Look ahead. Respect His leadership. And look up and rejoice in His goodness, but yet keep on digging. Let's pray.